The 13th episode of the Huskies Howl presents San Joaquin Delta's two pitchers, Zach Statzer and Connor Simone. Not much to say about these guys except for the fact that they are ballers and that one of them really enjoys a nice cup of joe. But we're going to talk about that a lot with especially Mr. Statzer. But Connor and Zach, both great guys. Glad that I was able to talk to them. And I'm excited for you guys to get to meet who they are as well. So without further ado, let's get into the episode with the San Joaquin Delta baseball players out of California. Connor Simone is my first guest from California. And I mean, we've had Californian guys before, but the first one from San Joaquin Delta. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
But Connor, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm all right. And I understand you guys are kind of just scrimmaging yourselves out there in Cali, but how's the season been going so far? Have you been working on a couple of things that maybe a few you've struggled with in the past?
Yeah, season's just been going good right now. I'm just trying to get, like, you know, used to my new body size. I put on about 30 to 40 pounds since the fall, so just been kind of, you know, getting used to that over this spring and just, you know, fine-tuning everything, getting ready for the summer.
So I guess let's talk about that then, because that's obviously a pretty big body change.
Yeah.
What was that all about? Was it just, you know, you started eating more, working out consistently, lots of protein and putting on muscle?
Yeah, pretty much all that. So I came in and I was about 192, and I was just really skinny, and I wasn't for like how tall I am, I guess, you know, that's, I need to have more muscle on me. So I just hit the weight room 4 or 5 times a week and just ton of protein shakes, ton of food, just, you know, eating a lot. And it worked. It helped, you know, just my body just feels a lot more stable now and everything. So,
well, I guess that's an interesting question to ask you, because everyone has their own routine when it comes to making a protein shake. So yeah, we got to talk about the ingredients that go into your protein shake, because whatever it was, it worked.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to figure out your ingredients here. What's your recipe?
People call me crazy, but it's literally protein scoops and water. That's all I did. And sometimes I'd do the occasional ice cream and make a shake. But for the most part, I just do 2 scoops of protein and just some water and just, I kind of got used to it.
I was kind of speechless, to be honest. So that's all that it was. But I mean, if that's what works, that's what worked. But
yeah.
As a pitcher, typically pitchers sometimes have a bit different, like, weight training exercises than hitters do. People don't really recognize how much core strength and leg strength really goes into pitching. So what are your main go-tos when you're in the weight room? Was there someone or someone that told you to do specific exercises that you think have helped you pitch?
Yeah, definitely. So a lot of like leg exercise that we would do at Delta, we focus on a lot of like front squatting and lunges, kind of focusing on that glute, strengthening those glute muscles and all those muscles around that for stabilization when you're throwing. And a lot of core work involved in that as well. And a lot of mobility work is we focus on a lot. And that's definitely helped me a lot since I've never really been on a lifting workout program. So I've definitely seen improvements and my body just, you know, feels a lot better now that I've been doing all that stuff for quite a few months now. And I'm really enjoying it.
Well, I'm assuming through high school, you're probably just like me. I was 6'4", 180 pounds until high school. And now I'm sitting at around 6'5", 225. So we kind of have a little bit of the same, you know, situation that way. But
yeah,
I stopped playing baseball, so I'm interested in hearing from you. How has it helped your game on the mound, putting on this weight? And I mean, I'm assuming you may have grown an inch or two as well.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just helped me, I think, all around and everything. Just, I feel being able to harder kind of, you know, has been the most, like, what I've seen the most improvement from by putting on that much weight. And just, I'm able to, you know, just be comfortable with the way I'm throwing now, rather than I feel like I have to put a lot of effort into throwing, which, not that I don't anymore, but just, you know, it just feels a lot smoother and better now at where I'm at.
So has your velocity also taken a jump?
Yeah. So when I graduated high school, which was last year, obviously I was throwing around 82, 83, maxing out around there. Then I've jumped up about 8 miles an hour. So I'm right around there right now. And I've been there since beginning of the spring, or late last fall, I guess you can say. But I've been right around there for a while now. And sky's the limit. So keep pushing forward.
Hey guys, let's talk about growing up in California and playing baseball. You see a difference between playing in the South and East California as the West, but compared to playing in the Midwest, because you can play year round. Was that felt pushed you to continue to play baseball and kind of made you better, you know, because you were able to play 365 days a year?
Yeah, so I think it just kind of helped me develop that love for that game even more, being able to be around it, sorry, so much more rather than if we were only billed out there, you know, half the year. So I've just had a lot more, I don't know if I'd say experience, but just being able to be out on the field has just been a huge factor all around, just being way more comfortable now and just really enjoying everything out there.
At the mound, being someone that's over 6'5". So from your perspective, what kind of intimidation you bring to the mound when you're looking down a bat? Obviously shorter than you because you're already on a mound that's heightened a bit.
You know, I don't, when I go out there, I'm not like yelling at them. I don't grunt. I would say I'm a pretty like quiet pitcher in a sense. I would say that's a good way to put it. Just like, I just go out there and throw and just, I just do my thing really. I like to think just, you know, be mean like in my head, but I don't show it, you know.
That I would hope that you're not yelling. That might get you in some trouble with coaches and umpires, and then when the other team, if they ever pimp a dinger off of you, it's not a good look. But let's talk about some things that you feel like you may need to continue to work on, especially here in the summer. You know, you're kind of playing against yourself and doing scrimmages right now over at Delta, so you're obviously going to have a lot of things to work on when you come up to the Midwest and play in Duluth. So what are those things that you're looking forward to tweaking here in the summer?
To fine-tuning all my pitches. Fastball, I would say it's there for the most part. Just really those secondary and off-speed pitches, just really being able to consistently throw those every time and just repeating with those pitches. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, getting some more info from other guys and just seeing what they do differently and just learning a lot of stuff, honestly.
So what would you say then is your best pitch? Because you have, I mean, obviously pretty much everyone has a fastball, and at 6'5", you're able to reach closer to the plate than a lot more guys are able to. And is that like your best pitch? Is that the most overpowering one, or is there a finesse pitch that you like to use more?
I really love my changeup, and I really love throwing that. I get a lot of compliments on it, especially when I started coming to Delta. Everyone was like, you have really good changeup. And I mean, like, I knew it was like decent. Like, I didn't brag about it or anything, but people kept making a lot of comments about it. And I mean, I guess I started to like see it after they said that. And I was like, okay, I'm doing something right here. So I just stuck with that and just kept throwing. And just, I want to improve that even more, being able to throw that for a strike when I need to, or have it drop below the plate or whatever I need it to do.
So now in high school, let's take a few steps back. Were you a PO or were you batting as well?
So about my first 3 years of high school, I was playing and then pitching as well. So I was doing both. But when it got to my senior year, which we didn't play that much, I was only a PO. I would only pitch, and then I'd sit the bench the other days, do the charts and all that stuff.
And that was the COVID year.
Yeah. So we only played about 8 or 9 games, and we didn't even make it to our league play. But it was fun.
So let's discuss a little bit about that COVID year and how you were recruited to Delta. So let's talk about your recruitment a little bit. A lot of baseball players kind of, it seems like they commit to their colleges later in the year, kind of right before they graduate, before that signing period. So let's talk about your recruitment to Delta. Just let's hear the story from you.
Okay, so I'm going into my senior year. Their pitching coach, he noticed me, and he started texting me, and we were talking a little bit. And I've always just kind of, I was like, okay, I'm going to keep this as a backdoor option and see what other offers I can get and whatnot and go from there. So once COVID hit and I wasn't really sure what I was going to do, I kind of had a feeling, and then I was thinking, okay, I think I should take the JUCO route here. I think it's going to be the best option for me. And then I was deciding between the JUCO in my hometown and Delta, which is about 45 minutes away from where I live. Mm-hmm. So I ended up making the decision of going to Delta, which I think was the best decision that I've ever made so far when it comes to baseball. Really good program. Really, really enjoyed what I've been doing so far with them.
So what division is Delta? Is that JUCO or is this like D3, D2?
Junior college, yeah.
Okay, so is there any kind of intent with you, Connor, to move on to a bigger program after your first 2 years?
Yes, I would love to. I would love to go to Division I and play there. That's you know, my ultimate goal. But I'm not too picky. I just want to play, to be honest. But I would obviously love to be at a D1.
Well, a summer in the Northwoods League will definitely be a good chance to get a few eyes on you. But, you know, you're a California kid. You go to college in California. If you were to transfer to a bigger D1 school, let's talk about options. You know, you have the pick of the crop. Every single team's offered you. Where are your top three schools? Are they still in California or are they kind of spread out around the country?
They're spread out around the country. I kind of want to get away. Like, yeah, California's great, but I want to get away from home. So that's a good one. You know, there's so many options out there and a lot of great schools. I would probably have to choose a school in Florida because I think Florida would be awesome to play at, either Florida State or, you know, wherever. I think Mississippi State, that'd be cool. That'd be awesome. And, I mean, Arkansas, why not, too? They're a great school. You know, okay. Why not? So, I want to get away.
Right around the SEC.
Yeah, SEC, yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha. So now, what do you think your role is going to be here in the summer? What exactly is your role, or do you think would have been your role? I know you guys aren't playing actual games at the moment, but what would have been your role at Delta, and what do you see your role being here for the Huskies? Is it going to be a bullpen guy, or do you think you're going to be in this rotation?
I would love to be in the rotation. You know, I label myself as a starting pitcher, and but I'm totally open doing whatever. You know, I'm not gonna complain. I'm gonna go out and do what my job is, and I'm gonna compete. So whether that be a starting pitcher or coming out of the pen, you know, either way for me, I'm fine with. But I would really enjoy starting, and I would label myself as a starter.
So that's kind of an awkward question for as a starting pitcher. Let's just say you're starting for the Huskies, and what do you think is your best facet as a starting pitcher? Is it your ability to go deep in games, or, you know, to just keep a consistent velocity, or is there anything else that you think you are the best at when it comes to that position?
Just throwing a lot of strikes and just being efficient. I would say that I do a very good job with.
Sorry, my audio cut out there for a second, but we're going.
Oh, no worries.
Now you're obviously coming up to the Midwest. You're going to be there for the summer, but we talked a little bit about the weather there right now before, during the spring part of the season, because it's raining where I'm in my car right now during the interview.
Oh, but wow.
The weather there right now is like mid-80s. The weather in Duluth in June, or, you know, late May, our first game's on the 31st, is not mid-80s. So what do you think for you is in the weather is going to be like? Do you think it's not going to affect you at all, or is it going to be maybe a bit awkward because obviously you're probably used to playing ball in the summer?
It'll be a bit of a change for the first couple of days, but I'll adapt pretty quickly. I don't think it's going to be anything too drastic or that's going to affect me too much.
Now let's talk about Zach Statzer, who is another pitcher on the team that also goes to Delta. You guys have known each other apparently for a pretty long time. And what's it going to be like heading over to Duluth with at least someone that you're comfortable with? Because obviously moving to a new place, especially as a college kid alone, is already a scary enough thing in its own. But at least you got a buddy coming with you.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. Me and him grew up in the same hometown. So we've known about each other, and we've known each other for a long time, playing baseball here and there and hearing about each other. And we've actually up against each other a couple times in high school, and that was always fun. So it's going to be really, really fun with him and experience this with him. So looking forward to it.
Play against each other in high school. Was there ever a time where you guys faced off as starting pitchers?
Yes, we did. Sorry, what was that?
We got to hear how it went. Who won the match? Because this is big info.
Yes. So I actually end up winning the matchup. I'm not sure if it was sophomore or junior year. I don't know. It was one of those years, but you know, me and him, we were going at it for, I think it was a good 4 or 5 innings. You know, no one scored. It was a great game, and my team ended up pulling off the victory. So
was there any talk between you guys about what school that you were going to?
Now that I think about it, I don't think there really was. We never, I mean, we've always been talking, we've always been cool, but we never really like, hey, we're like, what's your plans? What do you think about doing? It's just kind of like, we did our own thing. We just, you know, ended up at the same place, but we've always been really cool. So.
Gotcha. Now let's push baseball-ish aside for a second. I said ish because I'm going to ask you, what's your team over there in California? There's obviously, there's four. Yeah. What's the team over there in Cali?
I would have to go with the Giants, you know, but I would say I'm an all-around baseball fan, but if I had to choose a team, it'd definitely be the Giants. Can't go wrong.
If you're a Giants guy, it doesn't have to be a Giant. As a pitcher, who would you compare yourself to? If you had
I'd probably compare myself to Zach Gallen for the Diamondbacks. I just really love the way that he pitches. I really love watching him. And I would say he has a pretty similar changeup with what I throw. So, you know, comparing someone with another great pitch like that, I would say.
This is kind of an interesting question for you that I'm kind of going back into my baseball days and thinking where I got my grips from. Did you get your changeup grip or any other grip for that matter from like YouTube videos, or was it always a coach that showed you or something?
It was actually from a coach that showed me, and I kind of like tweaked it a little bit. He kind of showed me to like, so I throw like a split change is what I do. So I've twisted the seams around a bit from what he originally showed me, and I've just kind of done what works for me and just kept that. So I got it from a coach, but.
But I'm certainly excited to see that split change, because split change is kind of a rare pitch. You know, obviously people are always kind of on like the palm ball or the circle change.
Yeah.
That's a thing to see. But like I said, let's push baseball aside for a minute. What are some of the things that you just like to do outside of the diamond?
Really just enjoy being outside and just hanging out with friends and kind of doing whatnot and just chilling pretty much for the most part.
And how about academics? What are you studying at Delta?
Right now I'm majoring in business and management.
So like I kind of tell everybody, let's just say baseball for some reason doesn't work out. Is there kind of a route that you're looking at? Like, this is the dream job. Like, let's talk about your dream job or what kind of career you think you may follow if baseball doesn't work out.
So I would still love baseball, even if I'm not playing, be whether coach or something in the office or something like that. But with whatever it is, I definitely want to stay in the game of baseball my whole life. So I think that would be the dream job for me, whatever that dials down to, you know. But
does that include always staying in California, or is there somewhere else that you would just love to live?
I'm pretty open, but you know, you can't really beat that California baseball weather. So if I stay in California, I stay here and I enjoy it. If I have to move somewhere else, I'm not going to complain and I'm going to move somewhere else. But
yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But let's kind of talk about other teams. There's a player on Delta playing for any other Northwoods League team. Are there any other players from your area, sort of?
Yeah, I think there's...
I stumble my words.
No, you're good. I think there's two other guys, one pitcher and one catcher. There could be someone else, and I'm sorry if I forget them. I don't know. But they're going to... Yeah, they're going to a team. I think they're going to the Mud Puppies, but I'm honestly not 100% sure which team they're going to. But whatever team they're going to, that'll be...
Interesting. So let's talk really quick about your recruitment to the Huskies then. What pulled you to come to Duluth?
It was kind of the way I got in and found out about it was kind of just on a whim. I just showed up to practice one day and my coach asked me what I was doing for summer ball. And I said, I honestly don't know. And he said, you ever heard of the Northwoods? And I was like, yeah, I have actually. And he's like, we don't play on the Huskies. And I'm like, yeah, sure. So he texted, Coach Pointer about me and Statzer. And then he got us in, and then Pointer started contacting us, and that's how I ended up here. And same with Statzer as well, obviously.
Yeah, that would have had to have been interesting then, because obviously Coach Pointer is a California guy. He coaches in California now, but you must have been on his radar there for quite a while then, if you guys.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know. Either way, I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to play there. I'm really excited, so.
Absolutely. And now the question kind of that I leave everyone with, that you said that you've listened to the podcast, so I'm not even going to ask the question. I'm just going to quiz you on what team, you know, what team.
I'm going to have to go with the Mud Puppies. I just think they're a cool name, you know, new team. And hopefully those teammates that I have on my team are going to that team. So if we play them, that'd be really fun. Looking forward to that.
And believe it or not, that is actually my girlfriend's favorite team, strictly because of them. And else that I talked to you about it also thinks that their mascot is literally a muddy puppy because they don't know what mud puppies are. But hey, Connor, I thank you for coming on, man. I'm looking forward to talking to Zach too. It'll be nice to have, you know, two buddies come rather than just you guys coming yourself. So thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
One of the coolest things so far that I've seen about collegiate summer league baseball in my short time around the sport is that there's a lot of comfort issues that college guys may have with moving away from their college, moving away from their home, and going completely somewhere else to be with a random group of guys and playing the game that they love, which obviously makes them a bit more comfortable in those kind of situations. But one of the coolest things I've noticed is that a lot of these guys are plucked with some of their teammates. So Zach Statzer and Connor Simone will be coming up here together, and as a tandem duo, that brings a lot more comfort to the table for these two athletes. That way they can come here and at least know somebody, hang out with them, maybe live in the same host family's house. So from a comfort standpoint, it's really cool to see that Connor and Zach are both friends with each other and that they'll be comfortable with each other moving forward here into the summer, because obviously we want our players to be very comfortable and, you know, ready to go in all situations, have someone to talk to if they need be. But let's move on to Zach Statzer, another pitcher and another great guy. And we're going to have to talk about his coffee addiction. And I hope that you guys are ready to listen to that as well. So without further ado, let's get into it with Zach.
Zach Statzer is the second San Joaquin Delta player with me. And it's a tough college to say, but hey, Zach, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good, but it's also nice to see another ZAC. I mean, there aren't many of them out there, but are you a Zachary?
Yes, I am. And the CH is the worst ever because you go to Starbucks and they never spell it right.
Well, how do you spell Zachary then?
Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y.
See, man, I have still never met a Z-A-C-H-E-R-Y. So I'm still the culprit of being an E-R-Y, but someday, man, we'll figure it out. But I understand you guys are kind of just scrimmaging each other, getting your own reps in over there at Delta in California. So what's it been like this year for you not being able to play real live games against opposition?
I mean, it's been really tough. I mean, we've done everything we can. We have a roster of a little over 40 guys. So we've been able to put stuff together and have been able to scrimmage each other. And our hitters are great. They're absolutely amazing. And I mean, each and every week I get to get feedback from our hitters. We scrimmage twice a week and I get to get, you know, just as many innings as I would in a normal year. But yeah, I mean, it's been difficult on the team. There's not as much enthusiasm as you would say. And it's kind of the fact of there's dudes who are working extremely hard and there's dudes that are not. And at the end of the day, when the enthusiasm comes back and we get to play, it's going to really show.
So it's kind of go to that enthusiasm building block. And what will it mean to you then, as enthusiastic as you'll be, to step on the mound once you get to Duluth?
It'll honestly be surreal. We haven't had any fans at all. As you know, California has been pretty locked down. So we haven't been able to have any fans at all. It's only been our team, only the 45 of us, 40 of us that have been there. So stepping into Duluth is going to be a surreal experience. I know we can have up to 900 fans at Duluth, which is going to be the most I've ever had at any game, which is going to be surreal. And I mean, it's just going to be an amazing experience that I'm excited for.
And I'm obviously hoping there's a lot of fans there too, because as a broadcaster, it's really easy to get caught up in the emotion of the fan environment. And I know for a fact it is as a player too. But let's take a couple of steps back to high school. And what was your recruiting process like? why did you end up picking Delta? And I understand that you were also committed somewhere else as well.
Yes. So I think it was my sophomore year going into my junior year. I was recruited by Reno, Nevada. I went to high school at Beyer High School, so I committed to Reno, Nevada. Planned to go there, was committed there for almost a year, and then kind of coaching changes and everything happened there, and it just didn't seem like the right fit for me. And after I decommitted, I had some coaches reach out to me, and Joey reached out to me from Delta, and it just seemed like a great experience. And I will say I do not regret that at all. Delta is an amazing place, and the culture here is excellent.
So besides just that team culture there at Delta, what exactly made you pick the school? Was it the location being, I'm assuming, pretty close to your family? Your bio says that you're at least from Modesto. That's pretty close, but what were some of the other factors, you know, besides just the culture?
I mean, there's a lot. There's some selfish things that went into it of guys that they push out into amazing D1 schools. The year or 2 years before I came into Delta, they had 18 D1 commits and to some pretty big schools, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, all that kind of stuff. They had some pretty huge commits. So there's that selfish side, but there's also just the coaching is amazing here. I knew quite a bit of guys from my summer ball team my summer teams I played on in high school that were going to go here. And it just seemed like the best experience there. I could have gone to the JC in Modesto, but it just seemed like Delta had more to offer.
And essentially, what the junior college route does for kids is to obviously boost their talents enough to the point where they can play D1 ball. So where are the dream schools? What are your dream schools? And, you know, if you get an offer from those schools, excuse my voice crack, that you're automatically going to?
I mean, there's not that one school that I would go to, because the things I look for in a school, you can't tell with paper and a pencil, you know, a record, anything like that. Obviously, this year I'd love to go to a Power 5 school, SEC, ACC, Big 10, anything like that. But honestly, the deeper things I look into is coaching. Team culture is just a huge thing, because I've played on some amazing summer ball teams where you got these guys committed everywhere that you could possibly think of, and we just couldn't win. So I think team culture is something that's absolutely amazing, and it's something that I hope we build in Duluth. But as back to your question is, I don't think there is that school. I mean, every baseball player would love to go to Vanderbilt. So, I mean, that's kind of the Sunday school Jesus answer, you know, Vanderbilt.
I would definitely say that Connor also had SEC answers, just a couple of different schools, including Arkansas and Miss State. But, you know, if you don't have a specific one, that's perfectly fine. Obviously, we're all going to hope that you find that big place for yourself. But speaking of Connor, it's going to be nice for you to have another guy, even though it's a really lengthy roster over there at Delta. You said 40-some guys, that you have someone that you're going up to Duluth with, because that's no short vacation to go from, you know, California all the way up to the cold area of Duluth, Minnesota, which, I mean, it'll be summertime, but it's still cold compared to where it is even there now. So what's it like for you being able to go up there with someone that you're at least comfortable with?
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. I was super stoked to hear when my coach from here called me, and he was telling me about Duluth and that the coaches were going to call me. And he told me that Connor was most likely going to come as well. And I was stoked. He's a great dude. He's just an absolute guy. And he's if anyone on my team, he's one of the dudes I would love to be with. And we've talked about it every day at practice and every game we have. Just how excited we are. We count down the days. I think we're 18 days out from getting there. We're just super stoked to spend the summer with each other. And we got to play each other a little bit in high school. We're in different leagues. he went to Central. I went to Beyer. So different leagues. We got to play each other a little bit. But we are two Modesto boys. And it's going to be exciting to go across the country together.
And I would say that Connor did bring up the matchup that you guys had against each other. And he did say that he beat you in a pitcher's duel. Is that true?
Yes, no, that was true. But that goes back to my high school days. I was more of a thrower in high school than a pitcher. I was just a big dude that can throw hard. I never had, amazing coaching or anything of that sort. So obviously give up a lot of walks and runs. So yes, yeah, I never lived that down.
So that's kind of a big thing, especially in the transition from high school to college, is a lot of guys can step up on the mound and throw really hard. However, it's kind of tough to use those breaking balls, changeups, curveballs, sliders, and place them exactly where you want to put them. So what exactly would you say is your biggest step from when you were a thrower compared now to when you're a pitcher?
I would say a lot of mechanical changes, just the fluidity of my pitching. In high school, I was just a rip it and grip it guy. So I just get up on the mound, throw as hard as I can, and hope it falls somewhere near the strike zone. But when I got to college, I started understanding what pitching was all about, how to use my mechanics, how to use my lower half, how to throw pitches correctly, how to, use counts, and how to get batters in different situations of where they're guessing. And I would say that's my biggest thing is the mental side of baseball, understanding mechanics, how to use my lower half, and how I could use pitches to my advantage.
And would you say that's still the thing that you need to work on the most? Because obviously every single pitcher in the world feels like they have something to work on. You know, even if they're in the MLB, they have something that they need to tweak to make themselves an even more complete pitcher. So would you say it's still that you need to work on, or is it something else?
Yeah, I would say there's still a lot of mechanical things that I need to work on. I've turned a lot of stones over, and I've got a lot of things worked and hammered out that I needed to. As soon as I first got here, I kind of changed everything. Went into, a couple different mechanics. It's an everyday thing. It's a daily reminder. You have your mental cues of what you remind yourself of. Overall, yes. And second thing would be working on a change up, getting my change up better and more consistently in the zone.
And a lot of guys, especially, the big time guys, say they don't really care about their rankings out of high school. But to some, it can mean a lot because it brings a different kind of status to their game. And in California, at least a perfect game, you're the 70th overall ranked prospect and the 18th ranked right-handed pitching prospect. Do those numbers speak anything to you, or is it kind of just like you ignore it and just do your own thing?
They mean something to me, but at the end of the day, it doesn't mean much to me because I still, you get that goal and then you just keep moving. It's one of those things where, Ed Mylett kind of talks about living in a state of blissful dissatisfaction. So being able to be in bliss, but dissatisfied with your results. So, I'm a guy who just likes keep pushing and pushing and pushing. So those numbers don't mean that much to me. Stats and numbers are great in the aspect of recruiting and all that kind of stuff, but in the aspect of just like my mentality and adding to my confidence, I don't think they matter that much to me.
And another thing that's on Perfect Game is that you are in the 90 mile an hour club, which is pretty exclusive, especially to pitchers, but that was last year before COVID even. So obviously there's been a lot of time for you to tweak everything and continue to work, especially now that you're at the college level. Has your velocity seen an even bigger jump, or is it still sitting around that 91, 92 mile an hour zone?
My velocity has got better and it's got more consistent. I would say when I was in high school, it was very streaky. I'd be in the averages of 95 to 91. But now I would say I'm in the zone of 90 to 93 each and every game. And this is without fans or adrenaline or anything like that in a span of 5 to 6 innings. Who knows when I come to Duluth, what numbers I could possibly hit or stay the same. But yes, it has got better, and I would say it's got better in the consistency and the strain that it takes to get that 92, 93 mile an hour fastball.
So let's say the crowd's behind your back, there's two outs, full count, and you get to throw a fastball. What exactly do you think you could reach? What is the full height of your fastball?
I think with adrenaline, I think if I'm hitting a 93, 94 here, I think I could hit a 95, possibly 96. It's one of those numbers. Velocity is one of those things you just never know.
Yeah. And obviously last year was probably a disappointment for you. You were in high school, obviously, along with Connor. not too far away from each other. You said he was at Central and you were at Beyer. So let's talk about what it was like to figure out that your season was canceled last season.
I mean, it was a huge disappointment. We got to play a couple preseason games against some great teams. My high school team's not too amazing. We're out of like 10 high schools in my town. We're the lowest enrollment. So we're not known for the best baseball. But we did have a good culture going and won some games. And our coach came up to us after one of our practices and kind of told us the news. And it was kind of those things where you never expected it to come. And I mean, it was kind of surreal. It was kind of one of those moments you didn't really understand what it meant when he told you, because it was like so real. You didn't believe it was going to happen. We got shut down, and you know, we got put on, hey, we may come back in 2 weeks, and then those 2 weeks came by and we didn't come back. So it was kind of one of those things where I just had to tell myself I wasn't going to allow this time off to make me worse. A lot of guys took the time off and didn't work. But you know, I used it as time to get better, get stronger. I didn't lift that much in high school. I wasn't big into lifting, kind of moved towards lifting, and then got in contact with Delta, and they started setting me up with everything I needed, including lifting programs, throwing programs, all that sort.
And Connor said that was a really big thing for him at Delta was the lifting program. He said he put on a very large amount of really good weight. There's obviously a difference between weight and then good weight being muscular. But your recruitment to Duluth, everyone's is unique. You kind of touched on it a little bit, but let's hear the whole story on how you got coped up in Duluth and why the Huskies was the answer.
So it's actually a really great story. I was at practice one day, and this is during COVID. We weren't practicing at Delta. We were practicing at an alternate facility. And my coach came up to me. We were just talking. We were talking about fastballs and everything like that. And we were just talking about his college experience because he went to UNR. So we got to talk about recruiting to UNR and going on our visits to UNR. And then we started going into summer ball, and he talked about Northwoods. And I'm pretty ignorant to summer ball. So I had no clue Northwoods, Cape Cod. I didn't know any of that before I came to Delta. We just talked about Northwoods a little bit. He told me about his experience, and he told me about the crazy amount of fans, signing balls after games. He told me all this crazy experience, exposure he got from colleges, the team culture, the traveling, the different opportunities they have. And it just lit a spark in me, and I was super excited. Went home, did my research, and I came back the next day and I was like, man, that'd be dope if I can go to the Northwoods. It seems like an amazing, amazing experience. You know, he had contacts with Pointer. So he put me in contact with Pointer, and it was the right fit. And then, you know, talking more and more, it sounds like Duluth's the spot to be. So I ended up in Duluth, and so did Connor.
Conversations with Coach Pointer real quick, because although the manager is next to his name, he's a pitching coach. So what does it mean for you that he's a fellow Californian guy coaching out there right now, and you've obviously had a couple talks with him about coming up to Duluth? So what does it mean for you that your head coach is also a pitching coach?
It's honestly amazing to have the guy that calls all the shots for the game also understanding the pitching side. So I think it's absolutely amazing. And I'm super excited to get Pointer's side of coaching. Obviously on the phone, we haven't been able to get a lot of coaching, but I'm excited for when we get up there. Having a manager that's also a pitching coach is very crucial, in pitch calling, in understanding the pitchers and where they're at. I think having a manager or even an assistant coach that is, acts as a manager, is very crucial to program to relate, you know, themselves to the pitcher and the staff.
And obviously there's an understanding that really good pitchers in high school are typically starters, even though they could be excellent bullpen guys in college. Typically they're put into starting roles because high school competition isn't, I'm not going to lie, it's obviously a bit smaller than college competition. So what exactly would you say your role would have been this season at Delta, and what do you think it will be in Duluth? Is it a bullpen guy, or do you see yourself in the first inning?
Coming into Delta, I was everywhere. There's no way I was going to be a starter. I didn't throw enough strikes. I was inconsistent in the zone. And my off speed or curveball and changeup weren't amazing. They're both okay, can get outs, but they weren't amazing. So they're coming into Delta in the fall. There was no way I was going to be a starter. Made some pretty drastic changes in the fall, got stronger, got, I mean, a complete 180 from where I was at. And was able to change everything. And now, right now at Delta, I'm in a starting position, throwing, you know, 5-6 innings, 90 plus pitches. But, you know, when I get to Duluth, I don't know my role. I'm ready for whatever the team gives me. I'm going to be a team player. And, I mean, Marcus's decision, I believe, is the best decision. You know, whatever is best for the team, I'm ready for. If that's coming out of the bullpen, if that's closing, if that's long relief, or that's starting, I'll be there for the team because W's matter more than my position as a pitcher.
There you go. W's do matter. And at the end of the season, it's all about getting the ring, right? And also your improvement as a ball player because we want to see you go from the junior college level to the next level. But in Duluth, it's an extremely talented group. And I believe that you said that when you were in an interview with the Huskies. What do you think you see among this team? Because I'm pretty sure you've done a little bit of research on your guys.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. Every time I see the roster, a new guy, you know, you got to get the little Twitter stalk. but, you know, I see a great culture and I see a lot. I'm a Christian guy. I'm a spiritual guy. I've seen a lot of dudes and it's one of the things that excited me the most was to see a team chaplain. I think that's super unique and I've never had that experience. So there's building the relationship with the guys on the field. And I think is the just as important aspect is building relations off the field. As I told you about my recruiting, I think team culture is absolutely something that needs to be addressed and is you know not addressed at a lot of colleges and teams. So I believe I see a lot of team culture, and I think that's something I'll bring to the team as well. Is I thoroughly enjoy the game of baseball. I don't play it just because I can play in college or I just get a scholarship. Or, you know, that it brings me some popularity or anything like that. I play it because every time I'm out there, I enjoy the game. I enjoy the fans. So with our team, I see an incredible team culture that could be built. But there's no doubt that the talent and skill of our 2021 roster is amazing.
And that's actually really cool that you bring up the team chaplain because you're the first one that's mentioned having, you know, his presence felt around the team. And Daryl Kyle, he was on an earlier podcast that, I mean, you said you've listened to him. He's a great dude. That's episode 4 for anyone that wants to go check it out. It's called Connections. Daryl Kyle is an awesome dude, served in the U.S. military, and I believe still serves in a certain role, but pastored a local church. So everyone's going to be able to check him out, especially on the team. And if you're a spiritual guy, I'm sure that you can bring a couple of guys with you to his worships, which is a unique experience for you ball players. But let's kind of push away baseball and talk about some things that you like. And I understand, Zach, that you're a big coffee dude. What's that all about?
Yes, I thoroughly enjoy coffee. You know, unlike a lot of college behaviors, I'm not into drinking or anything like that. So I find my pride and joy and addiction in coffee. I'm sure you'll see me at a lot of the games with some coffee in my hands, the games that I'm not throwing. But I don't know, it's just an enjoyment. I think there's a cool culture behind it. I think, you know, when you get to specialty coffees, I enjoy the culture just as much as the drink. I enjoy, you know, the elevator, slow music type of thing, as well as the amazing cup of coffee. And I'm telling you, Zach, if you get a good cup of coffee that's not burnt, you'll be a coffee addict as well.
Well, I've never been able to enjoy a hot cup of coffee. I'm more of a cold brew guy, like mocha frappes, lattes that are cold. But let's kind of talk about your pregame rituals then. Is it like a coffee shot before a game or is it just like no coffee at all before you take the hill?
So honestly, I'm not a big adrenaline guy at all. I'm a pretty lax dude. And honestly, coffee at this point doesn't really get me hyped anymore because I drink so much of it. but I mean, it's usually just a cup of coffee. When I pitch, I usually pitch on a light or very empty stomach. Just because it makes me feel way quicker and less lackadaisical and that kind of thing. But yeah, usually I just have a cup. I'm not a big shot guy. All these guys drink Bangs and Monsters before the game. And I just can't do that. I just like enjoying the time. On the field, I'm a very talkative, smiling guy. I'm not one of those pitchers who goes and sits in the corner. Not saying that's bad at all, but that's just not me. I like playing the game very loose, but focused when I need to.
So then let's talk about music a little bit in baseball, because I used to listen to music right before my starts. Is there a go-to song that you have right now, or a song that you've gone to in the past that's just gotten you ready and focused to take the mound?
Ooh, I mean, it's kind of a long running joke among my teammates. They always make fun of me because I'm 6'5", 250, and they think I listen to some hard rock or something, you know, something that's going to make me feel like I want to beat someone up. But no, it's honestly, the long standing joke is Maroon 5 Animals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not ever going to come down on someone that loves some Adam Levine, because, I mean, who doesn't love the guy?
You can't not like Adam Levine. I don't care what you say.
I'm more of a Maps guy over Animals, but both really good songs, obviously. But when you're not on the baseball field, what are some things that you like to do?
I mean, like I said before, I'm a Christian, and I really enjoy that side of things. I enjoy church, and I enjoy discussions and that. Honestly, baseball kind of rules my life. I have a beautiful girlfriend that lives in Modesto, and she's pursuing nursing, so we're always hanging out together. But I'm just an adventurous dude. I like, you know, traveling somewhere, doing something, you know, everything I do is spontaneous. There's no schedule to what I do unless it's baseball, but you know, it could be anything from camping, mostly outdoors things.
Yeah. And that's awesome that you bring up your girlfriend, because she's obviously going to have to take a trip to Duluth, right?
Yes, she will be there in Duluth. So I think she's coming up in June with my family. So yeah. Well, she's already mad at me leaving for 3 months, but you know, it's okay.
Oh man, same here, I'll tell you. I know we talked about that a little bit before the pod started. But hey, if you end up taking the hill at some point, we'll have to have her come up to the booth, and we'll have her announce your name or something. That'd be freaking awesome. But let's talk. What's your team in the MLB?
So my team is actually the Dodgers, and raised in Modesto, everyone's Giants fans, which is a little bit tough. And I heard Tyler a couple podcasts ago saying he doesn't like Dodgers, but you know, it's okay. I'll get Tyler to like Dodgers. But I really enjoy the Dodgers, but the higher I get up in baseball, the less I like teams and the more I like players.
Sure. So let's talk about players then.
I am a big fan. I would say, let me think. I love Kershaw. I think he's just a great dude, amazing pitcher. He's going to go down as GOAT. But I really enjoy Justin Verlander. I really enjoy him. He's so underrated. People never talk about him. Everyone wants to be DeGrom. Everyone wants to be, you know, Otani, all these crazy new pitchers. But I just enjoy, you know, a good old Verlander or Nolan Ryan. I would say Nolan Ryan's probably my favorite pitcher of all time. Just because on the mound, that dude was a hound. That fight he had where he just put the dude in the headlock was just crazy. A bit of a throwback. And I would just like how Nolan Ryan's a grip it and rip it dude. He throws hard and throws a lot.
Well, trust me, being from the Detroit area, I love me some Justin Verlander. And you've heard it from me first, right now. He's coming back to Detroit, bro. He is coming back to finish off his career at some point. Part of me thinks he just loves the city too much, but another part of me thinks that's just me being a crazed fan. But we know minor leagues have a bit of an odd name thing going on. We have the Trash Pandas, the Chihuahuas, you know, a bunch of other team names. For me, it's the Lugnuts up here. What would you give a minor league team name right now if they were, let's just say, in LA? The LA what? Do you have an awkward name for me?
Ooh, the LA what? Jeez. That's hard. I would say, ooh, that's difficult. Honestly, I don't even know. I'd have to go with something that I enjoy, like just some weird, quirky name. It'd have to be like the LA Coffee Guzzlers or LA, you know, Frappuccino Boys or something crazy like that. I'd have to think about that. That's a very interesting question. But yes, teams.
LA Fraps.
Yeah, LA Fraps. There we go. Look at that. LA Fraps.
Because I know that you've listened to each podcast, and I had to hit you with a question that you didn't know was coming. But you know the next question that's coming. So what are the team, or what is one team that you are just looking forward to beating here in the summer? Can be from either league.
Ooh, this summer I would probably go, I would probably go the Rocks, because I believe one of the kids from my team, or two of the guys from my team, are going to be playing for the Rocks, and it's just going to be amazing to just beat up on them every time we play them. So, you know, it's, that's just bragging rights, and you got to have them.
Yeah,
so the Rocks.
You absolutely have to have them, because I know the Rocks are going to be a good team this year. They're pretty much a good team year in and year out, but let's check the schedule. That way we can mark the date for you. It looks like June 10th is your first crack at the Rocks. So hopefully you're able to get on the mound against the Rocks. But hey, Zach, man, I definitely appreciate you joining me on the podcast. We had a good talk. And I'm for sure looking forward to meeting both of you Delta boys here in December and showing us what Cali ball is all about.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on. I had a great time.
It's really great having genuine conversations with these guys. Zach and Connor, both really great guys, and I'm excited to get to meet them up in Duluth. And that 11.5-hour drive doesn't necessarily seem too appealing. I know I've got another friend, Brandon Riley, who I'm super excited to get to meet in person, coming all the way up from Miami, Florida. He goes to school at the U, all the way down there in Miami, another one of the Huskies broadcasters. And prayers up to Brandon, man, because that is a terrible drive, and I know for a fact he's driving and not coming in a plane, but it's all going to be worth it. Like I've said in multiple different episodes now, tickets are on sale, individual game tickets, and there are tickets still available to opening day, May 31st, 6:35 first pitch against the Waterloo Bucks from Iowa. Will be a great game, will be a great start, fireworks, you can name it. I talked with Mr. Rosenzweig before the game. He's going to give a speech to all the fans that are there in the limited capacity crowd, but we want to see 900 of your smiling faces at the Wade on May 31st. And I believe the most expensive ticket at the ballpark is either $10 to $12. So go get your tickets, because you do not want to miss this team play the game of baseball, especially after we lost our season last year. So come out. Welcome the Huskies back to the Wade in 2021, and we are excited to see all of you guys' beautiful faces back at the Wade this summer in only a couple weeks. We've only got a couple more episodes to go through with the podcast in order to meet people and do interviews with players. And then my plan so far here for the summer is once a week, we're hopefully going to have a talk with one of the coaches, and hopefully it'll be Coach Pointer, to give a recap on the week's games that just passed and who's really standing out, who's doing a good job, temp contracts that are either expiring or being renewed, and then players who are also coming in, because the contracts with the collegiate summer league teams are a bit odd in a way, but they are understandable. That way players only get a certain amount of innings and don't blow out their arms for the spring season upcoming. So, like I said, only a couple more interviews to go through player-wise, and then once we're in the summer, one episode a week, hopefully with Coach Pointer coming on. There'll be quicker episodes. They won't be as long as these, but it'll be a good time nonetheless. Really excited to get to meet all of you guys. Hopefully my face kind of gets around there, because I would love to meet a lot of you fans there at games. But signing off, my name is Zach Linfield, one of your play-by-play broadcasters from the season. Hope you guys have a great day. Enjoy it. Only a couple more weeks, guys. We're almost there for Huskies baseball, and the countdown is officially at 19 days. Of course, guys, good night, Duluth, and roll Skis.